Well, it's been a great blessing to be here in Denmark again. It's a great encouragement for me to come here. If we open our Bibles to Genesis 42 and verse 6.
Så vil jeg gerne bede jer om, at vi skal op i 1. Mosebog, kapitel 42, vers 6.
Now Joseph was governor over the land.
Så at Josef var landets hersker.
He was prime minister, the leader, Pharaoh's appointed leader over the land of Egypt.
Som jernminister, han var, og den rolle var han givet af Pharaoh.
And it was he who sold,
og det var ham, der solgte korn.
That is the grain that had been stored up in preparation for the famine.
Det er altså det korn, som man lagde til side, fordi man vidste, at den her hungersnød ville komme.
To all the people of the land, and Joseph's brothers came and bowed down before him with their faces to the earth.
Så står videre til hele landets befolkning. Nu kom Josefs brødre og kastede sig til jorden for ham.
Okay, let's pray.
Lad os bede.
Our Father, we pray that your spirit would take these words now, and you would help us to worship you in our daily lives, to let our light shine before men, that they may see our good works and glorify our Father who is in heaven. That people will be drawn to you. Make this useful and practical, that brethren can take home and apply to their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, what I wanted to look at today in verse 6.
Det ønsker jeg at kigge på i dag i vers 6.
Drawing from here, from Joseph being governor or prime minister of Egypt.
Altså det vi kan drage ud af det her vers, at Joseph var landets hersker.
There are many texts regarding the life of Joseph I could have preached this from.
Jeg kunne selvfølgelig have valgt mange andre tekster, hvor vi også ser Josefs liv.
What I want to preach on is the matter of the Christian in the workplace.
Det jeg ønsker at fokusere på i dag er den kristne på sin arbejdsplads.
In this instance, we see the Christian in politics.
Altså i den her situation, der ser vi den kristne i politik.
In our text here, we have a Christian in a very prominent position.
Altså i den her tekst har vi en kristen i en meget højtstående position.
As a leader of a country.
Altså han var landets hersker.
Now, the reason I wanted to preach on this,
altså grunden til, at jeg ønsker at prædike over det her,
because I see in much of Christianity today a discontinuity.
Altså det jeg ser i dag er det der kaldes kristendom er en
there's gaps in the Christian life.
Altså der er huller i det kristne liv. Det hænger ikke helt sammen.
Mm-hmm. Let me give you an example.
Lad mig give jer et eksempel.
How many times do you hear Christians complain about political decisions?
Hvor mange gange hører I kristne der beklager sig over kristne eller politiske beslutninger?
But not only do they not get in politics themselves.
Men alene, altså det kan godt være, at de beklager sig, men de vælger ikke at træde ind i politik dem selv.
And that's okay. That might not be their calling.
Og det er måske også okay, det er ikke deres kald.
But they almost disdain any Christian who does so.
Men de nærmest væmmes over kristne, så vil jeg gøre det, så ind i politik.
I mean, think about this.
Så prøv at overveje.
Christians want their country's politicians to make godly decisions.
Altså kristne ønsker, at deres lands regeringer skal tage nogle gudsfrygtige beslutninger.
And yet there are so few Christians involved in politics.
Men alligevel er der få kristne, som er involveret i politik.
You see, there's a disconnect there, there's a gap.
Altså der er et hul i den tankegang.
Let me give you another example.
Lad mig give jer et andet eksempel.
I hear a lot of Christians complaining about schools and what they're being taught there.
Altså, jeg hører også kristne, som beklager sig over skoler og hvad der undervises på skolerne.
And yet there are so few Christians willing to become teachers and work in schools.
Og så samtidig ser vi også, at der ikke er så mange kristne, som ønsker at være lærer.
And have an influence.
Og have en indflydelse på børnene og på mennesker.
You know, brother spoke the other day of Christians doing refugee work.
Altså, en bror her talte om kristne, som gør flygtningehjælp.
But not being allowed to tell Muslims about the gospel.
Men som så ikke får lov til at fortælle muslimer evangeliet.
But do you see why that is?
Men ser du hvorfor det er sådan?
You see, if you have Christians in the higher ranks there making those decisions, then they say, yeah, of course they can tell them the gospel.
Så ser du, hvis vi havde kristne i højstående positioner, så kunne det jo være, at de selvfølgelig fik lov til at prædike evangeliet.
But they've all withdrawn from being there.
Men de har taget afstand til politik. Mm.
You see, those examples are really a form of hyper-Calvinism.
Altså, de her eksempler er en form for hyper-Calvinism.
Denial of responsibility.
Altså, hvor man benægter, man har et ansvar.
But we can see here in Genesis in the life of Joseph.
Men vi ser i første Mosebog i Josefs liv.
That Christians can be very prominent in the workplace.
At kristne faktisk godt kan være højtstående på sin arbejdsplads.
And Christians can do great things.
Og kristne kan gøre store gerninger.
Let me give you another example of this disconnect.
Jeg vil give en tredje illustration.
It's quite common for children who grow up in Christian families.
Det er meget typisk for børn, som vokser op i kristne familier.
To have no vision for a career or what they're going to do in the future.
Altså, det er normalt for de børn ikke at have en vision for fremtiden og hvad de skal gøre i fremtiden.
Now, of course, the non-Christian world has that problem too.
Altså, den ikke-kristne verden har selvfølgelig også det problem.
There are many lost children from godless families.
Altså, der er mange fortabte børn fra gudsløse familier.
Who leave school having no idea what they want to do in life.
Som forlader skolen uden at have en idé om, hvad de skal gøre i deres liv.
But what I'm talking about here,
men det jeg taler om her,
is when the reason a child who grows up in a Christian family,
altså grunden til at barn vokser op i en kristen familie,
the reason they grow up with no vision for what they want to do in life,
altså det faktum at altså grunden til at de vokser op i en kristen familie uden en vision,
it comes from a faulty a premise in their theology, or at least their parents' theology.
Altså det kommer fra en falsk argumentation i deres kristne kristenhed.
You see what has happened there?
Det der er sket,
is they have a list of jobs in their mind, work.
De har en list, jobs liste i deres hoved,
which they think are the spiritual and the worthwhile.
Og så tænker de, at det her er det spirituelle.
Like being a pastor or a missionary.
Altså det at være en pastor eller en missionær.
But a normal job in secular life,
men det at have job i den sekulære del,
they either consciously or subconsciously think of it as almost worthless.
Altså de enten er de klar over det, eller er de ikke klar over det, de ser det som noget værdiløst.
You see, they think of preachers and missionaries of things having great eternal value.
Altså de ser på det at være en pastor og en missionær som har en evig betydning.
But the normal secular work they regard as almost worthless to eternity.
Men det sekulære arbejde ser de nærmest som værdiløst og har ikke nogen betydning for det evige liv.
Now, I sometimes observe this type of thing.
Altså, jeg har nogle gange observeret den her måde at handle på.
In Christians who did not grow up in a Christian home.
Altså kristne som ikke voksede op i et kristent hjem.
And at one time they had all these plans about a career.
De havde planer om en karriere og det ene og det andet.
But then they get converted at some point.
Men så blev de så kristne.
And all of a sudden the secular day-to-day stuff,
og lige pludselig så deres daglige liv
seems irrelevant.
Altså det de laver i deres daglige liv, det er ikke relevant mere.
You know, several years in Britain, where I come from,
altså i adskillige år i Storbritannien, hvor jeg kommer fra,
our then Prime Minister Tony Blair had a motto.
Vores premierminister Tony Blair, han havde en motto.
Education, education, education.
Det var uddannelse.
And his goal was to get everyone into academic education, or as many as possible, into university.
Og hans mål var at få så mange som muligt ind på nogle akademiske uddannelser, altså ind på universitetet.
And the result of this was the academic world was prized.
Og resultatet af det var, at den akademiske verden var blevet lønnet.
Yeah, but the non-academic jobs, just non-labor, or perhaps a trade, a skilled trade, like, you know, woodwork, plumbing, was despised.
I mean, normale jobs som at være en tømmer eller en snedker, det så man ned på.
And there's a place near where I live called Rochdale.
Og der er et sted tæt på, hvor jeg bor, der hedder Rochdale.
And this type of thing, it created what I once heard someone called the Rochdale man.
Og det resulterede i, at man, den politik resulterede i, at man kaldte sådan en mand for en Rochdale man.
This is not unique to this area, of course. It became all over the country.
Altså, det var ikke et unikt område, men det skete over hele landet.
But this is where, if you go down to the town center, the shopping area in the daytime.
Men det var sådan, at hvis man tog ned til centrum, altså der, hvor man shoppede og handlede.
You will see lads there in their early 20s wearing tracksuit bottoms.
Der vil man se unge mænd i 20'erne i deres
baseball cap.
Med en kasket på.
And they have a can of strong lager in one hand.
And a
pram, a stroller with a baby on the other hand. Well, the girlfriend is out at work. But do you see what has happened though? Whereas that same person, if they had lived in a previous generation,
samme person havde levet i den tidligere generation.
They may have got a laboring job or some kind of trade, some kind of skilled job.
Så har de måske fået et job inden for handel eller et faglært job.
Yeah. They've had it instilled in them that if it's not academic, it's worthless.
Men de har fået den her indstilling, at hvis det ikke er akademisk, så har det ikke nogen værdi.
But that person could not do the academic stuff.
Altså den her person kunne ikke tage en akademisk.
He's not wise.
Så han har ikke skruet sådan sammen i sit hoved.
And he could have perhaps done other things very well.
Altså han kunne måske have gjort andre ting på en tilfredsstillende måde.
Yeah. The reason I bring that up by way of illustration.
Altså grunden til at jeg deler det her med jer for at bringe en illustration.
Is because I see a very similar thing going on in the Christian church.
Fordi jeg ser noget lignende i den kristne kirke.
Many Christians have come to esteem what they see as the more spiritual positions.
Altså nogle kristne kommer hen til den her tankegang, hvor de ser på noget, som har en, altså som om det har en større værdi inden for et arbejde.
Preaching and being a missionary and so forth.
Altså det at være en prædikant eller en missionær.
And everything else is suddenly thought of as having no or very little eternal value.
Og så alt andet sekulært. Ses på, som nærmest ikke har nogen evig betydning.
Well, that's not the scriptural position.
Men det er ikke sådan skriften stiller det op.
You see, that it's not scriptural that there's no value in secular work. That's not New Testament Christianity.
Altså det er ikke Bibelen, Nyt Testament i kristendom, at sekulært arbejde ikke har en evighedsbetydning.
That's certainly not what the Apostle Paul thought.
Det er overhovedet ikke det, Paulus han siger.
In both Ephesians 6 and Colossians 3, he says that from, you don't have to turn there, but Colossians 3:22, bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleases, but in the sincerity of heart fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Jesus Christ.
Ja, i Kolosserbrevet 3, vers 22, står der: Slaver, adlyd jeres jordiske herre i alt, ikke som øjentjenere, der vil stå sig godt med mennesker, men af et oprigtigt hjerte i frygt for Herren. Hvad I end gør, gør det af hjertet, for Herren og ikke for mennesker. I ved jo, at I af Herren skal få jeres arv til gengæld. Tjen Kristus, vor Herre.
Now he's speaking to the first century practice of slaves and masters there.
Altså her taler han til det første århundredes slaveherrer og så slaver.
But the Bible gives us principles.
Her ser vi, at Bibelen giver os et princip.
And it gives us principles there for Christians in the secular workplace.
Og her giver det os et princip om kristne i den sekulære arbejdsplads.
Be faithful, he says, do your best.
Altså han siger faktisk, at de skal være trofaste, de skal gøre deres bedste.
Don't pretend to be working when you're not, as some do, he says.
Altså I skal ikke lade som om I arbejder.
But most of all, do your secular work for the Lord.
Men gør jeres sekulære arbejde for Herren.
You might be working for and serving the boss of the company you work for.
Det kan være, at du faktisk er en tjener, eller du er under en chef i det firma, du arbejder i.
But much more than that, above all that, Paul said, you're serving the Lord.
Men husk på, siger Paulus, du tjener faktisk Herren.
And so do you think of yourself, Christian, in that way?
Altså, ser du på dig selv, kristne, som værende?
You're serving the Lord in your daily work.
Du faktisk tjener Herren i dit daglige arbejde.
Because you should.
Fordi det burde.
As you go through Genesis, you see this time and time again in Joseph's life.
Altså, når man kigger i første Mosebog, så ser vi det igen og igen i Josefs liv.
What you see is he certainly thought of himself in that way.
Altså, sådan tænkte Josef om sig selv.
Whether he was serving Potiphar's house or even in the jail or serving now as prime minister, he knew he was serving the Lord.
Om han tjente i Potiphar's hus eller i fængslet, så han sig selv som en
tjener. In his secular work.
Hvad som helst arbejde, det må være.
By the way, this principle applies to Christian mothers serving in the home.
Altså, det princip kan man også applikere til kristne mødre i hjemmet.
You should think of yourself as serving the Lord in what you do.
Du bør tænke om dig selv som værende en, der tjener Herren i det, du gør.
But the reason I turned read that in verse 24, Paul says.
I vers 24 siger Paulus, det er grunden til, at jeg nævner det her.
He says, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ.
Jeg nævner det her, fordi der står, I ved jo, at I er Herren, skal få jeres arv til gengæld. Tjen Kristus, vor Herre.
So my point is, there is certainly eternal value in your secular work. He says you'll receive a reward for it.
Altså, min point er, at der helt sikkert er en værdi i dit sekulære arbejde. Der står faktisk, at du vil få en arv til gengæld.
And he says there, knowing that.
Altså, I ved.
Do you know this, Christian?
Altså, ved du det?
Are you conscious of this in your day-to-day life and Christian workplace?
Altså, er du bevidst om det i dit daglige kristne liv på din arbejdsplads?
Are you conscious of this as a mother serving at home?
Er du bevidst om det, hvis du er en mor, der tjener derhjemme?
And this applies to Christian students also.
Det kan også applikeres til kristne elever.
Knowing that you are serving the Lord Jesus Christ in what you do.
Altså, det, at du ved, at du tjener Herren i det, du gør.
Knowing that it does have eternal value.
Altså, at du ved, at det har en evighedsbetydning.
Are you conscious of that? Because you should be.
Er du bevidst om det, fordi det burde du?
You know, you've probably noticed as you read through the New Testament.
Du har sikkert lagt mærke til, når du læser igennem det Nye Testamente.
That we are given those principles in Ephesians.
At vi gives nogle eksempler.
The word just mentioned about Christian in the workplace.
Altså den kristne på arbejdspladsen.
And then you only have to read a few pages on and you see the same thing in Colossians.
Og hvis du så fortsætter bare nogle sider frem, så ser du også det i Kolosserbrevet.
You ever thought why that is?
Har du nogensinde tænkt, hvorfor er det sådan?
Why did the Holy Spirit feel the need to record that twice?
Hvorfor oplevede Helligånden, at han skulle nedskrive det to gange?
Because obviously this is something we are slow to get and need to be reminded of.
Det er noget, vi er langsomt til at opfatte, og vi er nødt til at få det gentaget.
Because once you forget it is of eternal value, you think, what's the point?
Altså, hvis du først glemmer, at det har nogen evighedsbetydning, så hvad værd har det så?
And something else he says there in Colossians 3:23.
Og han siger også noget andet i Kolosserbrevet 3:22.
Is do it heartily, heartily. Put your heart into your work.
Altså han siger, gør det af hjertet.
Yeah, there's a difference in your secular day-to-day work of just going through the motions.
Altså der er forskel på at gå igennem det daglige job bare i form af rutine.
Than putting your heart into it.
Og så at tage dit hjerte og ligesom indvie det i det.
Well, think about this.
Overvej det.
What causes a person to put their heart into it?
Altså, overvej, hvad er det, der får et menneske til at lægge sit hjerte i et arbejde?
You put your heart in something when you deem it to be a worthy cause.
Altså, du lægger dit hjerte i det, fordi du ser det som en værdifuld opgave.
When the cause grips you.
Altså, det er sagen griber.
And so you're no longer merely going through the motions.
Så det er ikke bare noget, man gør som en rutine.
But your whole personality, your whole being becomes involved.
Men det hele din personlighed og hele din væsen er faktisk involveret.
Well, here's the thing. When you forget that you are doing what you're doing in order to serve the Lord Jesus Christ,
når du glemmer, at det du gør er for at ære Jesus Kristus,
and you're mistaken to think that it's of no eternal value,
og du er fejlagtig i at tænke, at det ikke har nogen evighedsbetydning,
then you're going to lose heart and you're going to think, what's the point?
Så har du ikke hjertet med det, og så tænker du, hvad er så pointen med det?
But surely, as Paul says there, that knowing that...
Men når vi kigger på, hvad Paulus siger, han skriver, I ved jo...
That you are serving the Lord Jesus Christ in your daily life.
And I tjener her i jeres daglige liv.
And it is of value for him.
Og det har værdi.
And that he is pleased with you and you can make a difference.
Og at han glædes over jer, og I kan faktisk gøre en forskel.
Then all of a sudden it becomes a worthy cause.
Så bliver det lige pludselig en værdifuld sag.
I've used an example before.
Jeg har brugt et eksempel før.
That if you was to ask someone, what do you work as? What do you do for a living?
At hvis du nu skulle spørge nogen, hvad laver du, hvad er dit arbejde?
And they said, I'm a cleaner.
Altså, personen vil sige, jeg er en rengøringsassistent.
And now you may not think, well, okay, that's nothing great.
Så I tænker måske, jamen, at være rengøringsassistent, det er vel ikke noget.
But if they continued the question, continued the sentence and said, I'm a queener at Buckingham Palace for the Queen.
Men hvis nu personen fortsatte, så sagde jeg, jamen jeg gør rent på Buckingham Palace.
Well, that changes things.
Det ændrer jo tingene, ikke?
I mean, I'd be saying, wow, you never guessed who I met today. But you see my point.
Ser du min pointe?
I mean, we're serving the King of Kings.
Vi tjener jo Herrens Herre.
And when we when we realize we're serving the Lord in what we do, it changes everything.
Og når vi så når det går op for os, at vi tjener Herren i alting, så ændrer det.
It puts a whole different perspective on our daily lives.
Det giver os et helt andet perspektiv på vores dagligdag.
And we see time and time again in Genesis that Joseph had this perspective.
Og vi ser igen og igen i første Mosebog, at Joseph havde det her perspektiv.
This is what helped him to be faithful. I mean, you hear some serious trials, but you see how faithful he is in all this time. This perspective is what helped him to be faithful.
Altså, vi ved, at Josef havde en masse prøvelser, men han fortsatte i sit arbejde, og det var ligesom det her, han brugte som sit perspektiv.
You see, many Christians today, they have this false idea.
Altså, I ser, at mange kristne har den her falske idé.
That secular work is somehow unholy or less spiritual.
Altså, at det sekulære arbejde er uheldigt eller ikke så åndeligt.
But let me ask you this.
Men lad mig spørge jer om dette.
Was our Lord Jesus any less spiritual when he spent the bulk of his life as a carpenter?
Men så kan man spørge sig selv, var Jesus mindre heldig og åndelig i det, han brugte det meste af hans liv som tømmer?
In a secular job, though, was he any less holy?
Som i et sekulært arbejde, var han mindre heldig?
You see, many Christians, they think of only the churchy things as pleasing to God.
Altså, mange kristne tænker om, at det her, at det kun er det kirkelige arbejde, der ligesom er åndeligt.
They think, if I go out to evangelism and pass out some gospel tracts, and that's a good desire.
Altså, det kan være, at de tænker, jamen, hvis jeg bare går ud og evangeliserer og giver nogle traktater, jamen, så er det åndeligt.
Or they think if I serve in the church in some way, and it's good to want to serve.
Og hvis nu personen tænker, jamen, jeg tjener kirken, det er jo godt at tjene kirken.
But if they can't do some of those things, like go out on the streets and evangelize.
Men hvis de ikke kan gå ud og evangelisere, gå ud på gaden.
Because they have commitments as a Christian mother, and they're already run over the head.
Fordi de har opgaver måske som en kristen.
Or they're doing long hours at work.
Eller de arbejder mange timer på arbejde.
They beat themselves up as if they're not living pleasing to God.
Så slår de sig selv ned, fordi de mener ikke, at de ærer Herren.
And that's wrong.
Og det er forkert.
But let me ask you this.
Men lad mig også spørge om det her.
Again, you know, when our Lord Jesus spent the bulk of his life working in a secular job as a carpenter.
Da Jesus brugte det meste af hans liv som tømrer.
Was he any less pleasing to his father?
Var han mindre ærende over for sin far?
Does Scripture not say that all he ever did pleased his father?
Siger Skriften ikke, at alt hvad han gjorde faktisk ærede sin far?
If you ever get a chance, I recommend reading Luther's commentary on Psalm 105.
Hvis I nogensinde får mulighed, så vil jeg opfordre jer til at læse Martin Luther's kommentar på Salme 105.
It's a psalm about being thankful to God for all his provisions.
Altså, det er en salme, som handler om at være taknemmelig for alt det Gud han sørger for i ens liv.
There's a verse in there that says God gives bread as a gift to man to strengthen his heart.
Og der er et vers, der siger, at Gud giver brød til at give menneskerne styrke. Ja.
But Luther points out there that bread is a gift from God.
Men Martin Luther han pointerer, at brød er en gave for Gud.
And then he points out that many unbelievers even could have been involved in the making that bread.
Og han pointerer, at selv ikke kristne kan have været med til at lave det her brød.
And it was done in secular work.
Og det blev lavet på et sekulært arbejdssted.
And yet it's a gift from the Lord.
Men samtidig er det stadigvæk en gave for Gud.
You see, people have this wrong distinction today of the sacred and the secular.
Altså, nogen har den her forkerte forståelse imellem det hellige og det sekulære.
You know, like in the Old Testament, where you have the priests doing all the sacred, all the holy stuff.
Altså, i det gamle testament, har vi præsterne, der gør de her hellige gerninger.
And the non-priests do all the kind of normal secular stuff.
Så de ikke præsterne, altså de normale mennesker, som laver det sekulære arbejde.
But there is not that distinction in New Testament Christianity.
Men i det nye testamente er der ikke den forskel.
We are all priests of God, reigning with Christ and serving Him.
Så vi alle sammen præster, som er sammen med Jesus.
Serving Him in our daily lives.
Hvor vi tjener ham i det daglige liv.
In all the different things we do there.
De forskellige ting, som vi nu gør.
You know, whether we eat or drink, do all to the glory of God.
Om vi enten drikker eller spiser, så gør vi det til Herren.
You know, like in Romans 12, though, where it talks about presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice.
Altså i Romerbrevet, der står der, at vi skal give os selv hen som et åndeligt offer.
As our acceptable priesthood.
Altså i forhold til det her acceptable præstedømme.
We'll read on there. It talks about our relationships to one another, the submitting to the government and so forth. It's daily lives.
Og passagen fortsætter i forhold til hvordan vi er sammen med hinanden, men også hvordan vi underordner os regeringer, for eksempel.
Hmm. I mean, Christians sometimes get the wrong idea that they have the devotional time with the Lord.
Altså, nogle kristne kan godt få det her forkerte syn på, at jamen, på den ene side så har jeg mit åndelige fællesskab med Herren.
And it's good to have a time like that in the Word and prayer.
Altså en andagt i Bibelen og i bøn.
But here's the problem.
Men her er problemet.
They think that's the bit of the day I'm giving to God.
Men de tænker, og for jeg kan vise, at det er den tid, jeg giver Gud i løbet af min dag.
And then right now I'm off to work now or looking after my family as if that part's not for the Lord.
Og så går de egentlig videre, og nu tager jeg på arbejde, og nu er jeg sammen med min familie, og så tænker de, at de ikke tjener Herren der.
But when you go to work or when you look after your children.
Men når du går på arbejde eller er sammen med dine børn, passer dem.
You should see it as worship and doing it for the Lord.
Så bør du se det som en form for tilbedelse.
You know, something else Luther said which I thought was really helpful.
En anden ting, som Luther også sagde, som jeg selv mener meget hjælpsom.
He said, a Christian shoemaker does not serve Christ by putting crosses on shoes.
Altså en kristen skomager, han tjener ikke Herren ved kun at sætte kors på skoen.
But a Christian shoemaker serves the Lord by making good shoes.
Men en kristen skomager tjener Herren ved at lave gode sko.
Let me tell you another thing that Christians go off base on.
Lad mig fortælle en anden ting, hvor kristne fik på afveje.
And this affects how we live.
Og det har stor effekt på, hvordan vi lever.
They take a scripture like, all our righteous deeds are as a filthy rag.
Altså nogle kristne tager det her skrift, at alle vores gerninger er som surt vasketøj.
And then they wrongly conclude from that.
Og så konkluderer de på fejlagtig vis ud fra det.
That all the works they do as a believer are not pleasing to God.
Og så tænker de, at alle de gerninger, så gør de har ikke Guds velbehag.
They think everything they do is okay.
Altså, de tænker, at alt det, de gør, det er beskidt.
Well, that's not what that verse is saying.
Men det er ikke det, verset siger.
What that verse is talking about is when you try and work in order to earn your acceptance with God, trying to earn your salvation.
Altså, det verset snakker om, det er, hvis du prøver ved dine gerninger at retfærdiggøre dig selv.
Our own works are never going to be good enough to save us. We need Christ to find our acceptance with God with what He's done.
Fordi vores egne gerninger bliver aldrig så gode, at vi kan retfærdiggøre os selv. Vi er nødt til at se på Jesus, hvad Han har gjort for os.
But after conversion, what did our Lord say?
Men efter det, at det blev frelst, hvad sagde Jesus egentlig så?
Well done, good and faithful servant.
Amen.
Han sagde, godt klaret, trofaste tjener.
Have you ever noticed, you never see Paul write to the sinners in Corinth.
I ser aldrig Paulus, han skriver til synderne i Korinther.
Filthy little sinners.
I beskidte, forfærdelige syndere.
Nobody calls them saints, holy ones.
Altså, han kalder dem de hellige.
What did our Lord Jesus say on the Sermon on the Mount?
Og hvad sagde Jesus ikke på i bjergprædikenen?
Let your light so shine before men that they may see your filthy rags.
Sagde han ikke, jamen lad verden se det lys, I har, så de kan se jeres beskidte gerninger.
But that's not what he said, is it?
Det er ikke det, han sagde.
Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven.
Men han sagde, jamen lad verden se jeres lys, så de kan se jeres gerninger og prise Faderen i himlen.
Now, Let me ask you this: how does he expect you to do that?
Jamen, lad mig spørge, hvordan kræver han af dig, at du skulle gøre det?
What are those good works? Is he expecting everyone to be a preacher, full-time preacher?
Forventer Jesus, at alle skal være fuldtidsprædikanter?
That's not what he's talking about, is it?
Det er ikke det, han taler om, er det?
No, we are to let our light shine in our daily lives.
Altså, vi skal lade vores lys skinne i vores daglige liv.
Being salt and light to the people around us.
At vi har salt og lys for de mennesker, som vi er sammen med.
Not to withdraw, but to be in our communities.
Ikke at tage afstand fra dem, men faktisk at være aktiv i de miljøer, vi kommer.
To be amongst lost family members, friends, neighbors.
At være iblandt fortabte familiemedlemmer og naboer.
You know, there is a selfish attitude among many Christians today.
Så der kan være den her egoistiske attitude blandt kristne.
Where they have some family member who does something they do not like.
Altså hvor de har et familiemedlem, som gør noget, de ikke kan lide.
And then they just cut them off.
Så skærer de kontakten til den person.
I'm glad Christ didn't do that with me.
Jeg er glad for, at Kristus ikke gjorde det i mit tilfælde.
That's not going to reach them, is it?
Altså det får ikke dem faktisk gøre det.
You know, it's like they say, oh, they watch some bad things on TV I don't like.
Altså de kan finde på at sige, de ser noget forfærdeligt på TV.
So I'm not going to visit them, just in case I get a glimpse.
Og det kan jeg ikke lide, så jeg besøger dem ikke, fordi hvis nu jeg bare får et lille syn af det, så...
Behold the power of God.
Guds kraft.
You know, or they say, oh, they post bad things on their Facebook.
For eksempel, de poster dårlige ting på Facebook.
So let me unfriend all those ghastly unbelievers.
Ja, nu til at slette mit venskab med de syndere.
That's not being salt and light, is it? That's being a monk withdrawing.
Altså, det er jo ikke at være salt og lys, det er ligesom at være en munk, der tager afstand.
That's being a Pharisee.
Det er at være en fariser.
Do you remember when Simon the Pharisee said of Jesus? He said, "This he can't be a prophet; otherwise, he would have known what sort of woman this woman is. She's a sinner."
Altså han sagde, at Jesus kan umuligt være en profet, fordi hvis han vidste hvilken synder hun var, så skulle han ikke have fællesskab med hende.
But how many Christians think like that?
Men hvor mange kristne tænker sådan?
You know, they think of another Christian, perhaps. Oh, that friend you've grown up with there.
Så det kan være, at de tænker om en anden kristen, den ven du er vokset sammen med.
If you knew what sort of person she was, you wouldn't have her on your Facebook.
Altså hvis du vidste hvem hun er og kendte til hendes liv, så ville du slet ikke have hende som ven på Facebook.
But we are to get around lost sinners being salt and light.
Men vi bør være blandt de syndere for at være lys og salt.
And this is certainly how we saw it in the life of Jesus and also in Christianity lived out in Acts and the New Testament.
Og det er sådan, vi ser Jesus han levede, også hvordan apostlerne, de første kristne, levede i apostlenes gerninger.
I mean, let me ask you this: what does spirit-filled Christianity look like?
Altså, lad mig spørge, hvordan ser åndsfyldt kristendom?
I mean, we tend to think as people going around doing miracles.
Altså, vi tænker om os selv, at vi går rundt og gør mirakler og under.
Now there is that, and you know, but what you see when I read the book of Acts, I see mainly the apostles, some others, but mainly the apostles doing miracles.
Altså, vi ser under og mirakler i apostlenes gerninger, men når jeg læser apostlenes gerninger, så ser jeg apostlerne.
But this is how spirit-filled Christianity looks in the most part.
Men det her er sådan, hvordan åndsfyldt kristendom ser ud ofte.
In being content in your job, in your marriage, or in your parenting.
I det at være tilfreds med dit arbejde, i dit ægteskab, eller med dine børn.
Even when things are not going your way.
Selv når tingene ikke går din vej.
You see, that's what you need the Holy Spirit to be salt and light.
Og det er derfor, vi har brug for Helligånden, for at vi kan være salt og lys.
You know, there's a wonderful sermon by Ryan Fullerton. It's on I'll Be Honest.
Altså, der er en fantastisk prædiken på I'll Be Honest af Ryan Fullerton.
IllBeHonest.com. It's called The Carnal Christian Reconsidered.
Altså, det handler om på IllBeHonest.com om en kristen, eller om en prædiken, der hedder Den kødelige kristen. Vi kigger på det igen.
And he said, "I get very nervous when I meet a Christian who only talks about high doctrine and theology, but they don't talk about normal life."
Og han siger, at han er meget bekymret, når han møder kristne, som kun taler om doktriner, men ikke om det daglige liv.
And the reason he gets nervous, he said, because normal life is where Christianity is lived.
Og han bliver bekymret, fordi han siger, jamen det normale kristne liv, altså det er kristendom, det leves på det normale plan, på det daglige plan.
He says you meet some Christians are like a theological windbag, he called them.
Altså, du kan møde nogen, hvor de bare sådan teologisk.
They, they just pour out on you all these doctrines, and you're like, oh, I wish I was as holy as you. But he said, I'm more encouraged when I hear this sort of thing. When he hears a Christian mother say, I was about to strangle that child, but then the Holy Spirit came down. You see, that's Christianity in practice. You see, spirit-filled Christianity is when you can live in an ungodly world to the glory of God. I mentioned at the beginning about many Christians complaining about decisions made by politicians.
Det her med, at kristne kan beklage sig over politiske beslutninger.
But not only are they not willing to get involved themselves in politics,
men de er ikke selv klar til at involvere.
I said that may not be their calling and gift.
Jeg sagde, at det er nok ikke deres kaldelse og ikke deres gave.
But the problem is when they disdain and discourage any other Christian who does, always putting them down for it.
Men hvis de fortæller kristne, at de ikke skal involvere sig, og egentlig slår dem i hovedet på grund af, de har lyst til det.
But we see Joseph here was a politician.
Men vi ser selv, at Joseph var
he was a leader of an ungodly nation that worshipped all these idols.
Altså han var faktisk en hersker af et land, som tilbad falske guder.
And Nehemiah was a cupbearer.
Og selv Nehemiah var en, what's that?
A cupbearer, the man who came to the king with a cup.
Ja, altså en mundskænker.
Now that may not sound like much, but that was a very influential position. He had a very influential position with an ungodly king. Well, what about Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea? They belong to the same Jewish council that put Jesus to death. I mean, can you imagine other Christians in their day? They would have written them off as being compromised or not even saved, some of them, for their work. And yet, when all the others were fleeing at the crucifixion, it was Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea who stepped forward to take Jesus down from the cross and arrange his burial. You know, I'm tired of hearing Christians moaning because they have to put up with things like secular music on the radio at work. Basically, they're moaning because they have to put up with unbelievers. I've met people who even leave their jobs over it.
Listen,
you don't need the power of the Holy Spirit to withdraw. And live in a monastery, you don't need the Holy Spirit for that. To cut people off, you don't need the Holy Spirit. Another thing I mentioned at the start was hearing so many Christians complain about the state of our schools. And yet at the same time, so many Christians are not willing to work in those places. Or I've met Christians who are teachers, but they won't work in that field unless it's in a Christian school.
Men de vil ikke arbejde i det her skoleområde, med mindre det er på en kristen skole.
Because they don't want to get their hands dirty.
Fordi de ikke ønsker at få beskidte hænder.
But listen, I'm very grateful for Christians who work in schools today, all types of schools.
Altså, jeg er taknemmelig for at høre, at der er mange kristne, som underviser på hvilken som helst skole.
I'm grateful for Christians who work in politics.
Jeg er glad for at høre, at kristne arbejder i politik.
And all of the other areas of life, whether it be the police or all should be in all areas.
Altså, jeg er glad for at høre, hvad end det er, om det er politiet eller på andre områder.
But I'm especially those are grateful for those type of areas where, like Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, there.
Altså, jeg er glad for de områder, hvor Josef og Nicodemus arbejdede og var.
I mean, think about this. They must have come across things a number of times that they did not like.
Altså, de må helt set ting og sager, som de ikke kunne lide.
And yet there was salt and light in there.
Men stadigvæk så var de salt og lys, de steder, de var.
Like I mentioned before, we have a problem where you have Christians wanting to help the refugees, but they're told you can't preach the gospel.
Et andet eksempel kunne være, at der er kristne, som hjælper flygtninge, men de må ikke prædike evangeliet.
Well, if there was a few more involved in different levels, maybe they're going to see things they're going to be uncomfortable with.
Altså, hvis nu
maybe they're going to, like Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, they're going to find things they don't like.
Ja, altså ligesom Joseph og Nicodemus, altså, de kommer sikkert til at se ting, som de ikke kan lide.
But if they all leave, they're not going to be able to say, well, no, let them preach the gospel.
Altså hvis de forlader stedet, så får de måske ikke lov til at prædike.
You know, it may work different in Denmark, but let me give you an example of an opportunity.
Altså det ser måske anderledes ud i Danmark, men lad mig give jer en illustration på en mulighed.
Especially in the primary, in the 5 to 11 schools, public schools in the UK.
Altså i det man kan kalde folkeskolen, primary school i England.
They begin the day by having a hymn and some sort of, as they call it, assembly, where they'll have a Christianized sort of a moral teaching.
De starter dagen med at synge en salme, hvor de har sådan en kristen morals undervisning.
And they'll all say the Lord's Prayer.
Og de beder alle sammen Herrens bøn.
But here's the thing. None of the teachers that who are not Christians, they don't want to do it.
Altså der er ingen af dem, som er ikke kristne, der vil gøre det.
They have to do it because it's some kind of regulation.
Altså det er noget, de skal gøre, fordi det er noget, der er bestemt.
But if you have a Christian in there, just one Christian teacher.
Men prøv at forestille dig, hvis vi bare havde en kristen lærer der.
He says, yeah, I'll give the assembly.
Det vil jeg gøre, ja.
Oh, please do.
De andre vil sige, bare gør det, vi gider ikke gøre.
So Monday to Friday, he can say something to all those children every day of the week.
Det vil betyde, fra mandag til fredag, under fader vår og den her salme, så har han mulighed for at tale til børn.
But the problem is, there's no Christians in there because they've said, well, there's something else they don't like, so they've removed themselves.
Men problemet er, at der ikke er kristne der, fordi der er nogle ting, de ser, de ikke kan lide, og derfor vil de ikke træde ind på sådan en skole.
Now, you may not have a similar thing here, I don't know, but maybe there's examples you can think of where if they would just be a bit more thick-skinned and wouldn't withdraw so easily,
jeg ved ikke, om det
could be making a difference.
Jeg ved ikke, om det kan sammenlignes med noget i Danmark, men hvis vi bare havde lidt mere tyk hud og var i stand til at gå igennem de her ting, så kunne vi faktisk gøre en forskel.
You know, it seemed when Paul worked as a tent maker, he was reaching people like Priscilla and Aquila.
Da Paulus han arbejdede som teltmager, der var han faktisk i stand til at nå ud til nogen.
And you know, through secular work, the Lord can put people in your daily lives.
Altså igennem arbejde, sekulært arbejde, der kan Gud faktisk stille folk.
Or just go into your community. It's not a case of you see someone day one, let's preach them the gospel.
Det er ikke sådan, at første gang du ser dem på dag 1, at du så prædiker evangeliet.
But over time, you know, the Lord in praying and be patient, the Lord will open those opportunities.
Men over tid, så vil Gud åbne døre og give dig muligheder for at prædike evangeliet til dem i din dagligdag.
That's what I have to share.
Det er det, Kevin havde at dele med os.
Let's pray. Our Father, I pray that these words would be useful and encourage and inspire the Christians here, that they are serving you in the daily lives, and help us to be salt and light, to not withdraw ourselves too easily, but to be an influence for your glory, that people may see our good works and cause them to glorify our Father who is in heaven, and ask us for the reason for the hope that is within us. We may tell them of Christ born again for us, risen again for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.